Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We have been considering stirring up our love for God, our love for Jesus in these last few episodes. And it's such an important topic because Jesus says it's the most important command of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And of course, love your neighbor as yourself. We've been zeroing in on that first part, loving God, the triune God, loving Jesus. And we're going to talk some more about it. I want to remind you to do the podcasty things, to drop us a rating and review, and to think of somebody that you might share this episode with. That really does help us to get the word out about our conversations together about applying God's word to the stuff of life. So let's get really practical. We've been talking about all kinds of big picture types of ways to cultivate our love for the Lord, but I want to get into some of the maybe some things you haven't thought about as much. And this will be a little bit of a rapid fire episode as we consider more ways to cultivate our love for God. How can I love God more? Well, I want to start with one maybe you haven't thought about. Purge your lesser loves. You know, your heart is made to love. It's going to love something. The old Bob Dylan song, everybody's got to serve somebody. Well, in the same way, we're going to love somebody. We're going to have desires for somebody or something. And if you are filled up with loves for lesser things, does that not reduce your capacity to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? So here's a scripture that is worth considering. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. So this is a verse I often use around the beginning of the new year as we consider kind of spiritual resolutions. And we talk about getting a real appetite for the scripture, an appetite for the word of God being a regular part of our daily life. Well, Peter starts by saying, yeah, if you want to have that kind of godly appetite, baby hunger for the truth of God's word, you need to get rid of all the malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. It starts there. Then your appetite for scripture is going to grow. And I think the principle is the same with our love for God. Let's go now to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he talks about the end times, if you will. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And a lot of times people pull out their newspaper and compare this list with what's going on today and say, ha-ha, we are here in the end times. But of course, the end times in this context refers to the whole time between Jesus' first and second coming. In other words, this was as relevant for Timothy in his day as it is for us in our day. But oh, is it ever relevant? So when he talks about the list, I just want you to notice a couple of these focused specifically on attitudes of love. It says, for people will become lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, and he goes on down there. But then when you get to verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. So there's a specific correlation between your lesser loves and your lack of love for God. So it's time to maybe do some business. It's time to pull some weeds if you want the garden of your heart to flourish with love for Jesus. What are you loving? It maybe sounds a little bit trite to compare your screen time with your Bible time or your time at church, but wow, there really is a connection. And if we're just filling our minds and hearts with the world, how can we expect to have a flourishing walk with God and a love for God? So what are some weeds that you need to pull in order to cultivate your love for God? Here's another one, singing. There are several psalms that directly connect our singing and God's love for us, or we're singing about God's attributes. We're thinking about them and we're responding in song. So when you think of song, we think of truth or lyrics, and we think of an emotional component to it. And I think that our singing is an expression of our heart for God and love for God, but it's also a fuel. It also trains our hearts to love God more. And so just consider a couple of these verses. Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17, but I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. This is wonderful. Just thinking about how wonderful God is, thinking about his love for you, ought to launch us into song. And again, yes, it's an expression of our response to God's love for us, our response to his hesed, steadfast love, his covenant-keeping loyalty to us. But it is also a fuel and a motivation to make us love the Lord more. Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. And now consider Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. Elizabeth Prentice had it right, didn't she? She wrote a hymn. Not only is this a song helping us love God more, it's also a prayer that we would love God more in song. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee, more love to thee. Second verse. Once earthly joy I craved. Wait, sounds like Elizabeth was purging her lesser desires. What, in order to love God more, right? Once earthly joy I craved, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek. Give what is best. This all my prayer shall be. More love, O Christ, to thee. Third verse. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be my parting cry. My heart shall raise, this still my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee. So this is great. Good stuff. So take some time and sing. Somebody used to say it's good to have a hymn book at home. Well, that's fine. That's a good thing. And sometimes at church, people ask, hey, can I borrow this hymn book just for my private devotions if you don't want to buy one? But really, you can go online. There's like hymnary.org. Hymnary is going to give you all the lyrics to all the hymns, including this one, More Love to Thee. And so you can just go right on there. You could certainly, you can go to YouTube and have really any song or any Christian hymn that you can think of. And it is going to be right there helping you sing along. I mean, sometimes I say when we have special music at our church, we don't have it often, but when we do, it's kind of like, okay, I don't want to be performative or, you know, create a Sunday morning performance. Why do we have this special music? Well, I appreciate what John MacArthur said one time at Grace Community Church when a brother named Jubilant Sykes, who, if you've ever heard him sing, wow, could he ever sing? He got up after Jubilant sang and said, you know, Jubilant, what you did in using your gift in expressing this wonderful praise to the Lord is what's going on in our hearts. And you are representing us, and our hearts rejoice, and we're singing with you in our hearts. And I think that that's great. And it's a wonderful way to consider special music at your church. Well, we have to take a break now. When we come back, we are going to consider some more rapid-fire ways to cultivate our love for the Lord. These are good so far. Purge your lesser desires. Go picking some weeds. What is grabbing your heart's attention that maybe is crowding out your love for the Lord? And the second one is sing. Sing to the Lord. Just stop right now and sing to the Lord a song of praise. And sing about God, which will help you to love God even more.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. He's giving practical ways for you to cultivate your love for God. And he just named one that I want to press on for just a moment. He said, press your lesser loves. Pull the weeds, so to speak. And let's talk about a weed that most of us never really call a weed. That's your phone. Honestly, it's sitting in your pocket right now, and your phone contains all of the feeds that crowd out everything better and leave your heart loving smaller and smaller things. Dr. Krotz is right that what fills your time shapes what grabs your affections. So there's a change, an alteration in your life that's actually worth making, and that's the Fortis Plus app. It sits on the same phone, but it pulls you in another direction. See, most apps are taking and pulling you away from any and everything Christian and godly, while Fortis Plus pushes you towards everything godly. The whole catalog of Integrated is on Fortis Plus, alongside all of the content created by all of our fellows like Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Libby Clausen, Dr. Jason Lyle, and Todd Friel. And there is fresh teaching every single day. We're adding new content every day, and it's not going to cost you anything. And why is it free? Why is there no price tag? Well, it's not because it's cheap to make. It's because someone already covered it. What does that mean? Well, we call them gospel partners. Those are people who have been impacted by the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute, so much so that they decided they wanted to join us so that more people in more places all over the world can also access the content we're creating. And so that could be you. If you've ever been impacted by anything that you've ever heard here at Fortis Institute, and you want to join us to make sure the next person also has access to this content for free, consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And we know you have questions about what that would look like in your life. We have answers available to you right now at fortisinstitute.org. One thing that I want to tell you, though, two things, actually. Don't join us as a gospel partner if you're not already faithfully giving to your local church. That's your first giving priority as a Christian, is to your local church. And if you're not giving to your local church, we don't want you giving to our ministry. Also, the second thing, don't give to our ministry if it's a burden for you. So those two areas of your life have to be taken care of before you join us as a gospel partner. And then once they are, go to fortisinstitute.org to get all of the details. Now let's get back to Dr. John Krotz. This is Integrated.
Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. It is a joy to be part of the Fortis Institute and serve alongside of some other brothers and sister, Libby Clausen, right? I wanted to remind you about some of the other podcasts that are available. Greg Gifford's podcast Transformed is so sweet. It is so great as Greg, in a fun way, applies God's word to the problems of life. He's such a joy to listen to, and it is such a help. And it's quite a diverse categories of issues that he interacts with. He was talking the other day about how biblical counseling applies to missions, like ways that using counseling can go directly to the mission field. And he and his family have served in Japan in short-term ways. And that's just wonderful. It was so encouraging. So I would encourage you to go check out the Transformed podcast with Dr. Greg Gifford, and you will be blessed and encouraged. Well, we are talking about loving God. We're talking in rapid fire ways about ways to cultivate our love for God. And I want to encourage you to lean into the promises of God. That's going to help in your love for the Lord. So we're burdened, right? The Lord told us that loving God with everything we've got is our number one responsibility. It's the greatest commandment of all. But we know that we fall short, and we don't love the Lord as much as we need to. So we've been considering specific ways to stir up our love for the Lord. I'm going to say, grab on to the promises of God. God reveals himself in his word. He gives us his promises to encourage us. They are intended for you to grab onto, to think about and pray through and believe and to utilize. And so let's go to James chapter 4. James 4, starting in verse 6. Again, this is kind of a rapid fire passage as well. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He goes on to say in verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Well, I tell you, sometimes when times are difficult, you need the simple basics. And James chapter 4 has some pretty good basics, doesn't it? But I just want to draw your attention to that one word, that one promise, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Yeah. So if you want to love the Lord more, grab onto some of these promises and utilize them. Lean in. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you with a heart. I want to love you more. I want to draw near to you. And you know what? You can be assured God will hear that prayer and that desire, and God will respond in giving you a greater sense of his presence with you. Obviously, God is everywhere, but he manifests his presence and gives us a sense of his presence in special ways sometimes. And that is precious. So when you consider your love for God, I'm saying, humble yourself, draw near to God, and lean on him. I think about that story. You remember the story of Jacob as he's coming back and he's going to meet Esau, and he's challenged. He's coming back home to the promised land. He spent all that time with his uncle Laban and all the trickery and shenanigans that went on during that time. Now he's coming home. He knows Esau has been out to get him, but he's going to see him again. And he wrestles with God, right? Just before he gets into the promised land. And the Lord, probably the Lord Jesus, right, in a pre-incarnate manifestation, is wrestling with him and basically says, let go. And Jacob's like, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And obviously, there's a lot going on in that story and that passage. But the point I'm just trying to make is that attitude of grabbing on, right? I'm desperate for you. I need you. I need your blessing. I need you to help me to love you more. So we're drawing near and we're hanging on with kind of a Jacob wrestling type attitude. And of course, the Lord blessed that and blessed Jacob in a special way because of it. Also gave him that limp. And maybe that goes along with our humbling ourselves before the Lord and letting the Lord exalt us. I think it shows up in the way that we pray. You know, this is a prayer in accordance with the will of God, that the Lord would help us to love him more. All right, here's another way that we can stir up our love for God: to behold God's glory, to meditate on the attributes of God, right? This is a wonderful thing. Maybe it's in the Psalms. You can just grab onto various attributes of God as they pop up throughout the Psalms and just stop and think and be in awe, be amazed at that, right? If you get a chance to go see some of the wonderful visions of God's handiwork in the world, right? Maybe you get to go to the mountains, or my brother lives in Alaska. It's so beautiful in Alaska when it's not like the frozen tundra. If you go up and visit in the summer, you know, go see my brother and go to his church and tell him I said hi, and you will have a chance to see spectacular scenery. It's so beautiful, but it's kind of the backdrop of my brother's life. I don't think he even appreciates how spectacular the views are. Within 15 minutes of his house, you just feel like you're in National Geographic. I say that a lot, but it's so true when you get to go visit. Well, you want to take a moment and pause and praise God for his wonderful handiwork. If you get to go visit, you know, Yellowstone, if you go get to visit the Grand Canyon, or just some of the great places, Yosemite, national parks in America, or obviously places around the world, it is just stunning. Well, in the same way, meditating is to stop and be stunned by God's attributes. So we started this series by considering the Lord's love for us. How amazing is that? And that we love God because he first loved us. So certainly think about his love for you, but think about his faithfulness. God is so faithful. He keeps his promises. God always comes through. People will let you down in life, but God will never let you down. Even if it seems like God is letting you down, it is not the case. God is not letting you down, because God never lets his people down. It is precious to consider the faithfulness of God. What about the justice of God? You may think that you're having a raw deal, or things in your life are not fair, but God sees and God knows, and God will ultimately always exercise his just judgment on every situation. It may not happen in our timetable, like as fast as we wish that it was, but aren't you glad God didn't exercise his justice against your sin, right? He gave time and space for grace to come and to save you from your sin. Why? Because he loved you. Oh, see what I did there? We're all blurring and blending these attributes together. But God is just. He is always fair and always does what's right. Think about his mercy. Think about his grace. God has been so kind to not give you what you deserve, right? You deserve his wrath, but God has been merciful, and God has been so kind to give you what you don't deserve. He's poured out his grace. I've heard grace described as unmerited favor, but really, isn't it ill-merited favor, right? God is kind to us. We don't deserve it. We deserve his wrath, but instead of wrath, he has given us so many blessings. He's been so kind to you and to me. Here's another one to think about. Think about his wise plans. Like even today, your day might not be turning out like you thought it should be, or like you thought it would have been best. But aren't you so grateful as you stop and think about it that God is in control and that God is working out his master plan? And his master plan is so much better than we can think. And doesn't that make you love God more when you meditate on his wise plans? Here's a last one that we can think about for today: evangelism. Evangelism. If you want to love God more, if you want to love Jesus more, tell somebody about him. As you proclaim the gospel to your friend or your family member or your coworker or your neighbor, you are actually proclaiming God's greatness, his holiness. He is the creator. Even when you talk about sin, it's against the backdrop of God's holiness and God's perfect justice. when you talk about Jesus. You can't help but think about his love for us as we think about his love for sinners and Christ's death on the cross in the place of sinners and God's resurrection and just how wonderful it is that we're saved by grace, not by works. All you do is turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. It's a great thing for us to meditate on. It's a great thing for us to tell others about. And as we do, it helps us to grow in our love for the Lord. So don't just learn about these things. Don't just see them in the Bible. Let's be doers of God's word and love the Lord your God.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.